previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So you get the solicit seal of approval.
Ask if it's been that 10 grand we call to that, line
we
10
call
hours
that the solicit kiss of death. So let's ask you a question. As long as we're going to talk about music just a little bit here, Solicit spent about 20 hours standing online for a U2 concert. Would you do that? I wouldn't.
Wow. I don't mean to be mean to Chris, but you don't have to stand. You don't have to stand online if you're friends with the band.
Boom.
Oh, my God. I told you he is perfect for this show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We're live. And if you're listening, you're live. We're at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest, about a block and a half inside the line of demarcation between the state of Maryland and the capital of the United States of America. We're open for breakfast during the week, Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock. I'm just telling you that, even though you're not hearing this at that point in time.
You missed it.
I'm going to go through some mail that I've got. First of all, from Marcia Potts. Marcia Potts, who sends us what are charitably called tchotchkes, sent us something.
Chitter Chatter.
It appears to be a penguin that is named Chitter Chatter. Chitter Chatters.
Yeah. Chitter Chatters.
And Nigel said she sends this stuff all the time.
Yeah, she sends this like monkeys.
We'll put this,
can I see that?
Yeah, we'll either put this
like
in the
prize. Does he talk?
Does it do something?
It appears that it would. It will repeat what you say.
Oh, that's
okay,
literally
great.
The worst thing I've
that's
ever.
That's great.
We'll get this for your kids.
That. We'll have to figure it out.
I have this, which is great. This is from Barb Bauman and Mike Conrad in Damascus, Maryland. Well over a decade now. My husband introduced me to your humor when he dragged me to an event sponsored by the Smithsonian, I believe, where you told anecdotes about your life before a live audience. I don't remember it. While I didn't appreciate the insider references, I was intrigued enough to start listening to your show. I've been an avid little ever since. He and I also attended a Shirley Povich tribute where Kojo Namdi interviewed... interviewed George Solomon, Maury Povich, and you. I don't remember it. Much to my husband's chagrin, on the escalator after the event, I stepped up to introduce myself to you and Kojo, telling you both how much I admire your work. You couldn't have been nicer to us. Now we find ourselves with two tickets to see Anne Hornaday speak on how to watch movies on Wednesday, June 21st, that we are unable to use thanks to a summons for jury duty. We're sending them along in the hopes that you can put them to good use as a prize for some lucky little.
Oh, so my God, that's great.
This is going to be, there's a change of address on it. It is going to be at the Navy Memorial at 701 Pennsylvania Avenue. This is very easy
tremendous.
To get to. These are two tickets. If anybody wants them, Nigel, Michael, what do they do?
Well, why don't you tell them, Monday? Tell them to come down to Thursday's show, and you'll give them out Thursday as a gift.
Yeah. But then we're going to get 100 people, and I only have two tickets.
Well, they know the deal when they came in.
It's only two tickets.
You cut up little pieces of paper, and you pick one out of a hat.
Nigel is in charge of that.
Gary and I look
at David.
The most attractive people, we give it to them.
Just take your top off, and then Chris and I on the sides.
And we're talking about dudes only.
Caitlin and David, please join us at our wedding this weekend at Skinny Atlas Lake near Syracuse, New York. And then in parentheses, Edith Saliza. Yeah. Because you're more than welcome to crash on our pullout couch the night before. And I'll save your seat on the shuttle, so need to worry about parking. Our house is about 100 feet away from Bellevue Country Club's golf course and about a mile away from Wegmans. So, and it's very, very nice. David Riccardi and Caitlin, now she's Caitlin Riccardi. And they've enclosed an envelope for some reason that I don't understand. I guess for money. But I guess I'm supposed to send them something.
Yeah.
But it was.
You know.
It was June 10th. It was already. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do about that.
We only missed it by 2 days. You could certainly send a bag of cash.
We also got a beautiful picture. For those of you who remember, and everyone should remember if you're from Washington, Frank Herzog, the great sportscaster Frank Herzog. Frank is retired now and living in North Carolina. He's an excellent photographer.
Always was.
He sent this Nag's Head. We can put that in
a
frame.
That's beautiful.
It's very lovely.
That is a gorgeous shot.
Very lovely, so we're very happy.
I think I told you this, Tony. I want to say it was the summer of 1990. Maybe it was 1993 because the team started in 92.
Yeah.
And I was at Key West with my parents.
Frame that.
And we ran into Frank, who was down there ostensibly. I want to say he was by himself, and he had just gotten into photography, and he was like getting up early and shooting Key West sunrises and stuff.
This is what he does.
When we got home, sent my dad one, which was a gorgeous
photo.
No, he's
a great
photographer. We still have it. Yeah,
I have stuff of Frank's in the house in Delaware.
Yeah.
So celebrity intern Matt Williamson is here. Come here. I have a gift for you.
Oh,
come here, stand up.
Wow, he's really made it in life.
This is a Johnny O shirt. For you, maybe a little big, but you're going to have to wear it. Johnny O.
Sun's out, guns out.
Yeah, and yeah. Michael, tell the people.
Put it on.
Tell the people about Johnny O.
See,
because we are partnered with Johnny O. And we're going to try and see how this.
That's
works.
A nice one. I have that one you gave him, by the way.
It's a nice one.
I believe you gave him the Atwater Polo. So
really
the
nice.
Named after Lee Atwater.
The Dr. Yeah. Tony yes. code was actually taken down this weekend for a short period. Because it was up on some of these discount websites.
No, we're not. No, no,
it
we're
is back live.
Streets only cash homies. Yeah.
So wow, thank you nice to all looking. The loyal littles who are yeah, emailing nice. The show and tweeting at me. So we got that taken care of pretty quickly. But Dr. Tony is still live for another week.
Another week.
And Johnny O is, I believe they're doing two-day shipping for free on any order in preparation
so
of Father's
Day.
And
it's great stuff. And I actually need Cliffy. Do you have a car or do you only travel by the subway?
Metro only.
Metro
what?
Only.
Metro.
Because I need
kids.
You to do something, yeah. And you can't do it if you don't have a car.
What do you need done?
I thought you said he was a celebrity intern. What kind of celebrity intern rides the Metro?
Yeah, it's really not good. So I need you to
Black.
Actually deliver something to Woodmont Country Club, a couple of shirts for Tom Nides and for John Shulman. I need you to do that.
Do you have them with you?
No, I have them at home. So
if
we'll
only
work
someone
out.
From the Farrell family. Because
I could do that
access
for
access to
you.
Woodmont.
Yeah, well, we could get Connor.
If only you knew someone there.
He's an assistant pro there. Maybe he could come over. Connor could come over and pick these things up and
yeah,
we'd give them.
Seems like a reasonable
Because I played with
ask.
These guys and they're very, very nice. All right, so let's begin the show, the actual show. Did I mention that Chris Saliza is here and Gary Braun is here and Michael Kornheiser is here? Celebrity intern Matt Williamson is here, and Nigel's going to run the board. Later in the show, Michael Wilbon will join us. I'm the first to tell you that I don't know much about hockey, but I know a little bit about simple math, okay? And Wilbon, the reason Wilbon picks the Nashville Predators to win is the same reason Wilbon picks every team every year that eliminates the Chicago Blackhawks.
Right.
Because Wilbon feels if you have beaten the Blackhawks, you must be the best team in all of hockey. So he was screaming about how great the Nashville Predators were and screaming at me because of my I-95 bias, somehow confusing Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania with I-95.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Is that I-84? What is that?
It's a Something mile else. From Ohio.
People always talk and about the elites in Pittsburgh.
You know, it's a mile from Ohio. It's basically in the Midwest, Pittsburgh. And so I have to listen to this junk all the time from Wilbon. Here's the simple math that's important. Over the course of the NHL season, there were 30 teams. One of the two teams in the finals, Pittsburgh, finished second overall. Second. And by the way,
who finished first?
Beat the Capitals. Beat the Capitals game 7 in Washington, which they do every single
year. I believe that game was also 2-0.
Which is why I picked the Penguins to win because they beat the Capitals every single year. Every single year. They finished second. The Predators finished 16th.
Preds.
They were the last team in the playoffs. And Wilbon, who knew nothing about them until they played Chicago, picked them to win. So I believe I had this right.
Pekka-Rinne
was awful on the road. Awful. Horrifyingly bad every time that they were in Pittsburgh. But he was really, really good when they were in Nashville. And he went 58 minutes yesterday without allowing a goal. 0-0. Yeah, 58
and a half.
And it was a weird goal. It was actually off his back. It was a really weird goal. By the way, when you think to yourself, who are the greatest at whatever sport they play? Who are the greatest athletes? Try skating backwards full speed like these people do. Try getting your stick on the puck as you're on ice.
How about skating backwards?
Celebrity intern Matt Williams, a hockey player at Elon. Michael, give him the microphone for a second. Isn't hockey?
Hockey
and
player,
I'm not a hockey guy, but aren't they the greatest with the way they actually touch the puck when it's going 100 miles an hour?
I mean, it's definitely a tough sport, but I've been playing it since I was.
Get close to the microphone, or nobody, including your parents, can hear you.
I mean, I've been playing hockey since I was 6, maybe since learning to skate. So I mean,
did you go? Were you on travel teams and stuff like that?
I was. I remember.
I hope your father had to get up at 4 in the morning.
Every morning at 4:35.
Good.
Yeah. Had to drive like an hour and a half to a game. And
good.
Good thing is it's freezing cold once you get there.
Hockey is to be a hockey parent. It's
tough.
Crazy.
It's swimming and hockey are the two worst.
And they're great, right? These players are great.
I mean, you see it. It's a tough sport. I mean,
the
also someone's go ahead, Gary.
The Hornquist goal.
That's the last time Matt Williamson will ever be on the.
I thought he did well.
He did a good job.
I forget who from the Penguins.
By the way, when
I
gave him the shirt, he held the shirt up front and back as if there wasn't a back to the shirt.
Well, sometimes they say Johnny O across the back.
Looks like a pair of chaps.
The slap shot. I forget who took it. Goes wide of net. It bounces off the glass and sort of comes to settle on the back of the net, as they do, and it's sort of rolling around. And it never ceases to amaze me how these guys, I mean, we talk about hitting a baseball being the hardest thing.
Yeah, how do you touch the puck?
You got a puck flipping end over end on midair. He's got this stick, bats it out off the back of Pickerini, who's obviously facing forward and into the net.
Do you want to know an interesting thing about the Pittsburgh Penguins? They have won 5 Stanley Cups, which I think is more than any other non-original team. Or maybe not. Maybe Edmonton has won.
We can look it up.
Every one they clinch on the road.
They've never
They win
home.
A road game, which is hard.
Yeah.
They win a road game to clinch the cup, 5-5. 2 by Lemieux and 3 now by Crosby. They're really good.
So the Crosby-Ovechkin thing now, just a quick update on that. What it's 3 cups and Conn Smythe for Sid Crosby, and I forget where Ovi
And the
is
Olympics right. and the World
and
Cup.
And the World Champions.
So right. this is and the other guy has 0 at the moment.
They're now tied for the 5th most. The Montreal Canadiens have won 23.
Sure. Yeah,
the Maple Leafs have won 13. The Red Wings have won 11.
These are original teams.
Boston Bruins, 6.
Right.
And then Oilers, Blackhawks, and now Penguins.
Well, Blackhawks are an original 6.
Yes. Yep.
They're Chicago.
Yep. So Edmonton, the only one.
Yeah.
Also, just to add to your point about skating backward. It's not just skating backward. It's also skating backward while people are trying to knock you down.
Right.
Big people are trying to...
It's quite a skill.
I can't skate, so it makes
it's
even more amazing to me.
And
you
not
can't
only
skate? No, I know. You would think that I would be a regular
that physique.
Yeah, I know. You look at me and you think that Adonis can't skate.
Okay, so not only do I know nothing about hockey, here's something I know less about: soccer. Oh. I know less about soccer, and I like soccer less because I don't like soccer at all. I don't like.
By
it.
The way. Making souffles, also something Tony knows very little about
very
while
little.
We're listening.
Very little.
Things I don't know.
I understand to order the Grand Marnier souffle
early.
before you order it.
Takes time. Yes. Theoretically made
the United States men's soccer team, the World Cup team, which never wins in Mexico, did not win in Mexico, but tied.
Yeah.
Tied in Mexico, so they beat Trinidad and Tobago a couple of days
Who
ago.
Who stinks.
Okay, okay.
But
and then
they
go to Mexico and they tie, which is amazing for the United States. Bruce Arena. Now, I do know Bruce Arena. He's a Long Island boy.
And DC United, longtime DC United
coach. More important, but in Long Island.
Yeah, right.
Okay? And then he went to Cornell where he played soccer and hockey. Like, he was a hockey player.
Huh.
He was a hockey player. And I like Bruce Arena. Since Jurgen Klinsmann was either dumped or quit, or how did that happen?
Dumped. Yes.
Since that happened, Bruce Arena's team has played 7 games. People are getting off buses to come into chatter right
Unbelievable.
Now. So, there's a crowd.
Holy cow.
Too many people. This must
Look at
be
that a, yellow shirt
must
on that
be a
guy.
Tour stop.
By
at
a
this
shirt
point.
Like that, you get a free bowl of soup.
It looks good on you, Wang.
Exactly.
Since Klinsmann is dumped, Bruce Arena, who coached once before and got canned, has 3 wins, 4 ties, and how many losses? 0 losses. 0 losses. So do you think he's doing a good job? And he's pinning it all on this kid from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
The young stuff.
Christian Pulisic.
Yep.
That's the kid. He says that you take all the shots, pal. You take the shots. That's the way it's supposed to go.
By the way,
your boy here?
My boy is the guy in the canary yellow shirt.
That's your boy?
Yeah, Jason Hoffman, CNN Zone.
He works on CNN. Is he on camera?
No, he gets...
Because if he would wear that shirt...
Yell to him what time he gets into work. He's got Tony hours.
If he would wear that shirt on
camera... No, they don't let people on air with those kind of shirts.
I'd give him $20.
No, you
don't. I would. I'd throw it at him like Sonny Corleone.
When I get there at 5:30, he's there, bright, looking happy.
Good. Well, that's his job.
Yeah.
So is he your, like, he's your valet,
no,
basically?
He's not my...
Oh, isn't that how you described him, as your valet?
No, I definitely didn't describe him that way.
Okay.
I asked you not to repeat that.
Okay.
But the U.S. men's national team, since you brought it
this
up.
This is not, because he's Mr. Soccer. Yes,
just right. Recapping, 2-0-1 this weekend. They beat Trinidad, Tobago, and tied
right.
to Mexico.
Nailed
right?
it.
Well, how are they 2-0-1?
Well, you said they beat
Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
Tobago's the tough one.
They get 2 for that.
Pulisic is the best. He's 18, and he is already the best American soccer player we've ever produced.
He's
certainly the best
Donovan,
prospect we've ever produced.
Better than same
if,
size.
If
as
you
Landon
believe,
Donovan.
If you believe, and you should, that how
Do you
they
in miracles?
Exactly
yes.
how they play in Europe matters.
He plays in Germany.
Our best guys play like Landon Donovan. His prime played in an okay English Premier League team. Pulisic plays. Stop.
Yeah.
Pulisic plays for Dortmund,
Can we see something else
which is
on?
Which is one of the best sides in Germany and in Europe and scores goals.
It's your Thursday show.
One of the best what? One of the best what?
Sides.
What? Like team. What sides?
Queue
like
up.
French fries?
Queue
what?
Up for the lift.
Yeah.
Right. I just prefer a more Eurocentric view of the world. I don't much
shocked.
The problem. The score, I believe the score of the Penguins Predators game was 2-0.
2-0.
No, it was 2-0.
2-0.
I like to say nil 2.
You've killed the show. No one's listening. And we usually get a lot of people. We're going to take a break when we come back. Michael Wilbon joins us all the way from Golden State. Is he in Oakland or is he in San Francisco?
I believe
he wouldn't stay in Oakland.
His text to me said,
he's
call me on my cell, I'll be at Pebble.
He's at Pebble. All right, good. We'll talk about that. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the MeUndies ad, all right? There's a reason I've been telling you about MeUndies for months now. And they write in, they are simply the softest, most comfortable underwear you'll ever wear. I would say it's because they pay us. You know what I mean? That would be the real
six and one half dozen the other.
Once you try them, you won't want to wear anything else unless you're naked or in your swimsuit. For every other second of your life, there's MeUndies. Every pair of MeUndies is sustainably sourced and made from micromodal, a fabric that's three times softer than cotton. If you're used to buying packs of uncomfortable, boring underwear, I never thought of underwear as boring, but I guess it is, that only come in white, gray, black, or tan, MeUndies will change everything. Because MeUndies comes in all kinds of colors and patterns, and they release a new limited edition pattern each month that always sells out. This is much better copy than before. I'm reading it for the first time. This is much
this
better.
This is like the modal of copy.
This
is
really
micro modal. So true, micro.
This month is a rainbow confetti print called Celebrate. Celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music, as Sly would say. Try MeUndies today. Go get the Celebrate pattern before they're all gone at MeUndies.com/Tony K, and you'll save 20% on your first pair. You have to feel for yourself to see why MeUndies has sold over 5 million pairs per day. And if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free. Get 20% off. This is good copy.
Five million pairs of underpants
a
day?
No, to date.
Oh, to date. Okay.
To date.
I was going to say.
Get 20% off your first pair plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/Tony K right now. That's MeUndies.com/Tony K. MeUndies.com/Tony K. And we were late getting to this read because Nigel didn't think I was capable of actually picking up the copy from the table.
That's what he said,
and at so
least.
We went back to there are no...
Right.
We don't get through the day.
Unfortunately, he's put a lewd symbol.
No, it's
now on
one
the,
day. That stands for
no,
one.
That doesn't. All right. So that's it.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is from a band called 10 Feet Tall, a DC funk and blues band. Sent in by Josh Himmelsbach, who writes, I've been a loyal listener for years, not missing an episode since the days of the podcast delays and sales weasels. I even had a mailbag jingle played on the air once. Our lead singer, Scott, used to work at the Post as a designer and knows the Wilbons through family in Chicago. Our bass player, Larry, backed up Michael at his recital back when he took guitar lessons.
Wow.
We've been playing together for over 12 years, but all good things must end, like JT3 at Georgetown or apparently NATO. So we're playing our final show next weekend, Friday, June 16th. That's this Friday. You may not want to mention this since it's happening at Clyde's of Chevy Chase just across the state line from Chatter. But in case you can suppress your hatred of the competition just long enough to tolerate it, the music starts at 8 o'clock. Clyde's is about a block and a half from here. It's a lovely place. Mm-hmm. Been there many times since it opened 25 years ago. So that's really good. Michael Wilbon joins us now. And the important thing is that... I'll tell this small little story. I said, so if Cleveland were to get swept, and that was Thursday night, if Cleveland were to get swept, and I said to Matt Kelleher, then I assume Wilbon will be back on Monday because there's no excuse for him not to be back. And Kelleher looks at me and says, no. And I go, no, why? And he goes, Wilbon arranged to play Pebble. And I looked at Kelleher and I said, all is forgiven if you can play Pebble.
It's the ultimate excuse.
All is forgiven. And playing it without the great Sam Reeves setting it up, did you get – so how was it? Who did you play with? Tell me all about
it. Great. It was great, Tony. I was a single and just set up with, you know, with three other people. And it's really cold out here right now relative to what
what's 98
think
here?
Of as June.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, then it was twice the temperature that we got here.
Yeah.
It was literally, I think it was 57 or 58 degrees yesterday. Right. And you know what happens when you come to Pebble.
Yeah, it's cold.
If it's 70 degrees here, and and sunny, it feels like it's 85.
That's right.
I mean, the sun is such that, you know, it just, it's amazing. So at 58, when the sun was out, which it was most of the day, not only was it not cold to most people were wearing shorts.
Oh,
you know, I
would have worn a sweater and pants. I would have worn a sweater.
I did. That's exactly what I did. So I had Tony, I had arranged it when, at the beginning of the series, there's no way you nor I thought that this thing could be a sweep.
No.
Any way, shape, or form.
No.
So somebody says, you want to play Pebble before game five? You go, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Because we know there's going to be a five. Set it up. And, of course, it didn't even look like that was going to happen. I mean, most people had that series ending in four the other night, including me, except when you watch this is what the Warriors do. You know, what they do is they sort of goof around.
We'll get to that. Stay on point here, Mike.
I don't do what you do. I don't luxuriate publicly in my ability.
That's a pay course. Everybody can go. It's a pay course. I'm just saying it's great when you go. Did you have any great shots? Did you get on any of the par threes on the drop down par three? What is that, Michael? Number eight, the drop down par three?
Seven.
How'd you do on that?
I had pars on two of the par threes, including the last one. I don't even know if that's 15, maybe 14. I'm forgetting holes now, but I had one nice moment of a decent drive, had to lay up on a par four, and then just had a lob wedge from 70 yards, hit the middle of the green, and I heard the caddy say, "That's got a chance." I go, "Chance for what?" And it, you know, falls for a nice three.
Whoa, a birdie from the fairway.
Yeah, it was like 13 maybe. So I had, you know, I was erratic, but you know, Tony, it's also I'm still getting used to playing. I'm just playing 18 after walking and playing 18. Yesterday was the first day I tried that after the knee scope of a few months ago, and it was, you know, my legs swole up, as they say.
Yeah, but
it's Pebble. It's Pebble. I was out there. It was fun.
Pebble is magnificent. If you get a chance to play any of those courses, Monterey Peninsula, Cypress Point, Pebble, you have to do it. It's magnificent.
You do it.
The scariest thing, the first par five in Pebble that goes up and up and up and then is...
Number six. So one of my playing partners, a guy from Indianapolis, did not play college golf. You know, guys like you and I like to say a money guy.
Yeah.
Derek, and I'm forgetting Derek's last name. I wish I could remember his last name. He eagles six.
He eagles it.
Hits the second shot to about, I don't know, 8 feet.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
It just goes up and gets more and more narrow. It's really something.
It.
Wow, that's
eagled
great.
It.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, Jim Nance had an event at the same time. Jim Nance had an event this weekend.
He lives out there.
And was there. I didn't see Jim. Yes, but
hello,
the great
friends.
Jack Nicklaus was on the golf course at the same time.
Nicklaus was on Pebble while you were on Pebble?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And Nance didn't invite you to his deal?
How would Nance have any idea that I would be
You're
at
supposed
Pebble
to
Beach?
Slap in the face.
You're supposed to know at that point. You're supposed to know. There should be advance warning that you would be out there. So you enjoyed. Did you play any of the other courses out there?
No, I didn't do any of that, and you know, now it's time to go back to
work. Now we can talk about the series. By the way, is there some reason for this? I would have thought that they would take advantage of a Sunday night and they would have put the game on, started at 8 last night, which they did a week ago, and yet it's tonight, it's Monday.
Two travel days, Tony. They did that after a Thursday game.
Right.
Thursday. They went Thursday, Sunday. If there is travel, there will be 2 days. That has been decreed. That's it.
Yeah. Well, it's three time zones.
You know, so they played Friday.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter about three time zones.
Oh, any travel at all?
Finals, any travel means a second day.
Okay.
So that's why the finals take 17 days, one day longer than the Olympics.
That's why it's been 20 days since the Cavs have defeated the Celts, and we've only played four games.
Right.
That's amazing.
Exactly.
That's a long time.
That's exactly, you know, but this is, you know, this is the way. Tony, you like to talk about how the NHL
they play.
Plays every other day. No, they haven't. They went Thursday, Sunday. And if there was to have been a game seven, I think it was going Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday.
Okay, but they're done.
So.
And by the way, I believe I had that. I mean, we could talk about this at great
length. Everybody had that. I mean,
no, you had the Predators. You had the Predators.
I was rooting for the Predators. I don't like Pittsburgh.
You don't like
Sidney. Get in line.
Like, they're a bunch of whiners. I don't like.
That's okay.
I don't hate anything about them, and I'm not a Capitals fan. I mean, I do like to see the Capitals win, but. But, you know, I don't like Crosby. I don't like the Penguins. They're not like the Lemieux Penguins to me, which I loved watching. And so I don't like this team, but I'm not going to sit there and tell you that they shouldn't have been favored and shouldn't be acknowledged as a great team, because they are.
They are. They're a back-to-back team, and that's very hard in hockey.
Yeah.
You mentioned at the beginning that you did not expect a Game 5. I did not expect a Game 5, although, as I've said many times, I don't ever bet against LeBron James. Because I think he's capable of greatness, true greatness. I was surprised that Cleveland won. Our guest, Jalen Rose, thought it would be a romp for Golden State.
Yeah.
And I think you're in that arena. I think most people probably felt that way, right?
I thought it could be. I thought that, you know, the scenario I had, Tony, was that, you know, Cleveland would be up by 12 to 14 points and that Golden State would roar back, and once they got the lead, that was it. Well, they never got close to the lead. I don't think they got it closer than 11 once it got up to, and it wasn't 14, it was 22. So once it got to 20, I remember thinking, you know, I know that Golden State can wipe out a 20-plus point lead in less than a quarter, but I don't think they're going to do it tonight, and they didn't.
They had a record, Cleveland set records.
They had 86 in the first half.
He set records.
It was like an all-star game.
86, yeah. 49 after the first quarter.
Yeah.
Warriors shot 54.5% in the first half, and we're down 20.
Wow.
How is this explained? How is that explained?
They don't have to explain it. You can just watch it. They didn't play any defense. If the other team scores 86 on you, you're not playing any defense. The only Warrior who played as if something was at stake was Kevin Durant. Because for Kevin Durant, more is at stake than the others. And I tell you what, Tony, the one real flaw in the Warriors, and you can start this observation I'm about to make with Steph Curry, is that they sometimes hear the sweet Georgia Brown music playing in their head.
Right.
And they just start to Curly and Meadowlark it, and they just throw it all. They throw it all over the yard. They have, you know, 22 turnovers. I think they had 18, so it wasn't that bad the other night. Of course, the game they had 18 probably through three quarters. So you look at it, and they just don't. It doesn't matter as much possession. Possession means nothing to the Warriors. They could care less about possession of the basketball. So. When they get up like that, when they're up and they're rolling and 3-0 and all that stuff, they did this last year. They did it last year. Now, two huge differences. Draymond Green, who was a much bigger figure in last year's finals than he's been so far in these finals, is not suspended tonight, and Kevin Durant. And so you would take those in reverse order. Maybe not, because last year Kevin Durant's, Draymond Green's absence was enormous. But you know, we're going to get to the part about what I think they can win. I think they'll close it out, but I'm not as sure as most people will be. I always thought this would be a long series, and now there's a chance. Because I think the first quarter will determine this. I think that Cleveland will still play like it is trying to bludgeon the Warriors. And the way the officials call this game, or the way they allow them to play or not, will determine whether the Cavaliers get a lead. And if they get a sizable lead, Tony, and I don't mean 22.
Right.
If they get up 8 to 10 points, they're going to feel so much better about themselves. You know, and then all of a sudden they start getting tight because, look, they won this game last year. They won 5-7 last year here So, you know, I think Golden State, everybody's asking. That's all. Listen, the only question at Pebble yesterday, I mean, anywhere on Pebble, I'm talking about at the hotel, I'm talking about the golf course, the only question was, are we going to close this out tomorrow night? Hey, Wilbon, what do you think? Are we going to close this out tomorrow night? And I said, I don't know. I think you are. But if they let Cleveland get in further into this, you know, and then the momentum shift is even longer. It's even harder to stop because it wouldn't just be three games. It would be four.
So you think, I'm interpreting now, but you think if Cleveland wins tonight, you think Cleveland will win the series?
Well, I certainly think it goes seven if Cleveland wins tonight. I think it goes back to going
seven. And what does that do in your eyes to LeBron James?
Well, you know, if you lose in seven, you still lose in seven. I think, you know, the indignity would have been a sweep. Less so than I thought, because I started studying this.
Magic had been swept. Kareem had been swept.
Magic had been swept in the finals.
But he'd been swept in the playoffs.
Magic and Kareem together in the finals.
Yeah.
They'd been swept by Moses and Doc.
So, yeah, you know.
And so others had been, Bird had been swept before in the playoffs by Milwaukee. Everybody had been swept in a seven-game series in the modern playoff format, except Jordan.
Except Jordan.
And no one would remember the time LeBron was back 3-0 and then brought it all the way back to game seven before losing.
Well, yes, to some degree.
I think they would.
More so than what he did last year?
But to be in that position again.
Yes, but he got in that position.
Yeah, well, that would you know, enhance the legend, I think, if they come back.
I do,
first
too.
First of all, they come back to win. That becomes the Red Sox-Yankee situation.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which, of course, has never happened in any round in basketball. But, it's interesting about LeBron. I mean, now that they've avoided that, I had to write an essay, which I finished a few hours ago, Pacific Coast time. I had to write an essay about this for SportsCenter, which will run tonight if they lose, if Cleveland loses, about what this does to LeBron and how we think of him. You know, does being 3-5, your record in the finals, what in a numbers-obsessed culture, what does that mean? As opposed to, he took his team to seven straight finals, which nobody's done since Bill Russell.
Yeah, I mean,
how do you score it? Like, what? How do you weigh it? And so I have sort of done I've moved on it.
I think when it's all said and done, I think that people will say Jordan is one and LeBron James is two in the history of basketball.
What about Russell?
Maybe.
I think Russell has been passed over because Russell was not a big scorer by himself, and there were, for many of those years, only eight teams in the league. I mean, I just think that's what's happened. So
I just think, and I mentioned this, there are four people on my Mount Rushmore, and I feel pretty secure that it's going to be this way for a while, and those four for me, are, and no, I'll do it chronologically, are Jordan, I'm sorry, Russell, Magic, Jordan, and LeBron. Those four for me.
I'm fine with that.
The next four would then be, you know, Kareem, Bird, you know, Kobe, and I don't know who the fourth would be, but those would be the next three for me. But the four heads are there, and LeBron is not going to have his taken off to me if he loses this series.
He keeps reaching finals, you know.
He keeps
that's a big deal. He gets the finals. All right, we'll see you by the magic of video later. Thanks. Are you going to play? Are you going to play today? You playing?
No. This is, you know,
work day.
Here's what I don't do. You know me. You know me well. How many times have you seen me on the golf course at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Zero would be the correct answer, unless it's in Arizona. Okay. Unless it's in Arizona.
No. I don't do. I like to play in the afternoon, even in Arizona. But to play here today and make it to 2 hours to San Francisco, I'd have to play at like 6:30. And play, and then be on the highway, and that's not.
I'd do it.
Well, you're up.
Do it. You're awake.
I know you would do it.
You're awake. All right.
I know you would do it. I'll talk to you later. I'm not going
to
do it.
I'll talk to you later. Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back with news. Nigel will do the news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Just got here.
This is Nashville Steve Rempis, or Nashville Steve, if you please. The name of the band is Incognito Cartel. We're based in the music capital of the world, Nashville, and would like to offer a few songs to the show. We call our music psychedelic jangle pop, which means it's good and it's fun. The EP is In a World Turned Upside Down. It's available at Apple, iTunes Store, Amazon.com, CD Baby, or get this, Target.com. The website is incognitocartel.com. If any littles live in or visiting Nashville, come out and see us. We would love to see you.
Very cool.
How about that?
We've got very good music today. Michael, how do people get music to us?
They can email the show at jingles@tonycornizershow.com.
Very, very good. Nigel, you have news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. It was not a great weekend for your Washington Nationals. Other than the fact that Max Scherzer got to the milestone of 2,000 strikeouts, that was about the only good thing that happened for them.
He should have had 2,001 because he got totally robbed on a strikeout with one on and one out in the eighth inning. And if he gets that strikeout and doesn't walk this particular player, then he stays in the game. And God knows that once you go to that bullpen, it's a disaster.
Absolutely.
It's a disaster.
Well, and Max stayed on 1999 a little longer than he wanted when he challenged Scherzer, who took him deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he walked Jurickson and Profar, and then he left the game, and then Oliver Perez came in.
Two walks.
Yeah.
It's a disaster.
Yeah,
On Saturday night, it was Coda
Glover
and Sean Kelly. Disastrous.
And as we
and yesterday, it was Trinan and Perez, and it's disaster.
Sad.
And as we find out about Coda Glover, he hurt himself while taking a shower before the game on Saturday. Hurt his back, so he bent down to...
Tweaked it, grabbing the body wash.
Yep. Yeah, felt a tweak, and then didn't tell anyone.
You got to tell people.
Well, yeah, he didn't.
Yeah, because he's like, roll out there, yeah, something deal.
I just pushed through it, and he couldn't. He just disastrous out.
So I work itself out.
He's now on the 10-day DL.
Yeah, but don't worry, because Joey Blanton is
back. Yeah, he's
back.
At the beginning of the season, I understand Coda not saying something. They've trusted you. They've given you that role. It's okay if you're the big, scary closer. Actually stand up and admit when you're hurt, if you're actually that hurt.
You just killed Scherzer. I mean, Scherzer just got killed yesterday.
I attended this game, and I tweeted out.
Wait, I didn't see you in the solicitor seats.
Why? I mean, I don't always.
I was watching.
Again, they're not my seat. Just to be clear, they're right. Kevin Huff and Sylvia Garfinkel seats. They occasionally, though not recently, invite me to sit in those seats. I was in the 200 levels, obviously not befitting a man of my position.
Lord. How did you manage?
How long did you wait in line for them?
I wore a mustache and glasses. Not my blue glasses, but a mustache and glasses so as not to be recognized.
Was it a nice Malbec that they serve in
yes,
that section?
Yes. But watching
Bobby Valentine.
Watching it in person is even more soul-crushing than watching it on television, because the second that they went to the bullpen, everyone around me was like, well, that's it. My 8-year-old said, I'm not kidding, direct quote, the bullpen strikes again. And I'm like, if my 8-year-old knows that the bullpen needs...
Headline writer.
Even Tom Boswell, who is always telling people, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, it's the team's fine, even he realizes now in today's paper that the bullpen is a disaster.
Terrible.
Their rankings, they showed these rankings yesterday. The Washington Nats starters are ranked first in innings pitched, which you don't want to be necessarily.
Dusty loves
and
to leave them out there.
All the categories for relieving are their last. They're last in everything. It's awful.
So that stat's a little bit misleading, because starting pitching happens to be one of our strengths. So you're obviously going to rely on your strength. If we had a bunch of home run hitters, which we do, you'd expect to see them up in that category as well. There's a few other stories that I find more troubling. The relief situation has been here all season. We know it has to be addressed. We're waiting to see what will be done.
Right, around
trade deadline. They're committing errors now routinely, and I still think this just happens to be the hangover effect after this three-city trip out west. Now, that should go away this week, because you have the Braves in town, and then you go on the road for some divisional opponents. They're now under 10 games. They should be able to get it back up to 12 or 13 based on playing the Mets and the Braves, but they're not hitting. They're committing these errors that the team now seems to be affected by the bullpen. It's trickling down. You saw that on Saturday night, where bottom of the ninth, after Coda gives up the save, they could have easily ended the game when they have runner on third with one out, and they just sort of give up.
Run to the plate.
Yep.
Don't stop.
Talk about the air going out of a stadium. It's 1-1. It's a great game. And the crowd was into it from the start, because Brian Goodwin hit a home run on the second pitch of the game Little did you know that would be one of three hits they would get the entire game
of this
against a guy I've literally never heard of.
Harper got a hit in the next at bat, the next pitch, and then they had one more hit for the rest of the game. I got texts from Sands. You know, from Sands and Jared, they go. Well,
why did you see the Trinan thing? I mean, I sent you a strongly worded message via text. But the thing with Trinan is the first pitch he throws to Wieters with the bases loaded when he comes in is a cross up. How does that happen?
Yeah.
You've literally just talked to the catcher.
They have to go. He has to.
They have. I'm just looking at the stats of the six relievers with the most appearances. Eddie Romero has a 4.13 ERA. Oliver Perez 4.97. Everyone else is above five. Cota 5.12. Trinan 6.33. Kelly 7.47. Nice playing. Not a good ERA.
Wait for Blanton.
Solis 8.31. Blanton 8.78.
That's after his performance yesterday. While he was warming up in the bullpen, they had the stat that he could see like right above the bullpen in right field. 9.49.
Those are insane.
Congrats.
That's insanely high bullpen ERAs.
It's awful.
Above five.
The good news is that they still lead in that division by
9.
How about Bryce's throw Saturday? That was a good
throw. Yeah, it was a good throw. Daniel Berger wins the St. Jude Classic for the second year in a row. Shot at 4.66. Came back from a 3-shot deficit to beat Charles Schwartzel and Wee Kim by one stroke.
That's not the story. The story is Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson went on the air. Whoever interviews for CBS, I don't know Amanda's last name. She's very good. She asked Phil about the open at Erin Hills, and he said, and I'm quoting directly now, I need a 4-hour delay. His daughter is.
Is that a request?
I need a 4-hour delay. His daughter is graduating from high school, and he's going to be at the graduation. He had it timed down. He said it's a 3-hour and 40-minute plane ride. I'll go there. I've never seen Erin Hills. I've never played Erin Hills. Okay, I'll count on Bones to lead me around but I need a 4-hour delay. Can't they just let him start the next day? He's Phil Mickelson. Let him stay. He's not going to win.
Well, I'll play 36 on Friday.
Yeah, he never
wins
it.
When he says he needs a 4-hour delay, they haven't announced the tee times yet. Can't they just
make...
Oh, they have. And when is he scheduled for?
He needs a rain delay.
By the way, is it Amanda Balionis?
Maybe. I don't know her last name.
CBS golf reporter.
She's very good.
Yep.
Very good. He just was right out there. CBS is doing something now that none of the other networks do, and it's working. They bring somebody in, give them a handheld mic. They talk to Amanda. And there's, you know, a scoreboard behind them, and it works very, very well. In the tournaments I've seen, works
does
very well.
Does anyone want to not see Phil Mickelson in the U.S. Open?
I mean, everybody
why
wants
everybody
to
do whatever course. You could to get him in there.
Well, again, Jack Nicklaus paid the school where his children went to reschedule graduation 5 or 6 different times so he could play in the Open. Well, Phil hasn't done that.
Yeah, Wilbon should ask Jack to pay Phil's school.
That would be a good thing.
What else do we have?
Mr. Tony, locally in golf, Ben Warnquist is your winner for
Manor.
The 96 Amateur Championship for the Maryland State Golf Association, played at Columbia, which I believe you're familiar with.
Yes. Shot the course record.
And it was 65 on qualifying.
65.
Wow.
Yeah. Second title in 3 years for him. He beats Barton.
He played
Meads
at the University of Maryland. He's a very good player, right? Is he in his 20s?
I don't know him personally.
Yeah, he must be really good because he just set the course record.
Where did he play in college?
Maryland.
You know, more importantly, he beat Colin St. Maxon's, a good friend of the show, in the round of 8, who is a Murray former golfer and a Penn former
Murray
golfer.
Murray and Penn, which is the ticket to stardom. Murray and Penn.
Yeah, of course.
Well, certainly led me to the stars.
It's the greats.
All right.
To France, the French Open, Rafael Nadal is a winner again in the French Open. His 10th time he's won that tournament.
Did lose a set.
6-2, 6-3, 6-1. And just as you say.
Over the Stanimal.
Yeah, over Stan Wawrinka. And just a dominating performance throughout the entire tournament.
So what's happened the last 2 years when his body's been breaking down? How is he fit all of a sudden?
I guess he took a lot of time off last year. And he's done well this year. I think he's won a couple of tournaments. So he's back in
Federer. Well, this is his surface.
Clay is definitely his surface. Federer also, this is like a throwback year because Federer won the Australian. He takes the French off to rest up for Wimbledon. You would think that he probably would be the favorite to win Wimbledon, or at least among.
I think Andy Murray certainly has done well at Wimbledon.
By the way, Mickelson's scheduled tee time is 2:20.
The
last group goes off 2:42.
That's so very, very late. So what does he need, a 4-hour time? He needs to go off at 6?
Well, it looks like there could be some PM thunderstorms Wednesday evening and some morning rain Thursday.
There we go. Push those times
back.
There we go.
Maybe a 4 p.m.
Got to hope for that.
Yep.
Well, if somebody wants to take the 4x4 out on the course to rip it up a little bit just so it delays it for a few hours.
It does not do a lot of that in high school.
We have to have sands on the show, but Michael and I have played Erin Hills. It does not set up for Phil all that well.
It does not at all, but it actually might set up better for him if he has not seen it, so he doesn't know all that trouble. If Bone just says, hit it right here, he can hit it close, and he's creative enough with the wedge and with the recovery shots that even when he gets in trouble, because he will, he can probably salvage enough pars.
All right, what have we got?
Yelena Ostapenko is your winner.
I'm familiar with her work.
She just 20 from Latvia. She is the first unseeded women's champion at the French since 1933. So she beats Selena.
The women are, of course, hurt because Serena Williams is out because she's pregnant, and Maria Sharapova was denied entry.
Right, and I think Sharapova made an announcement. Made an announcement of the week. She won't be playing at Wimbledon. I think she's dealing with some injuries, so she'll be out at Wimbledon as well.
I mean, you say they're hurt. You mean in terms of interest level?
Yes.
Not in terms of competitiveness.
No. In terms of interest level.
Opens it up for them.
Yeah.
Into the Tonys. I know you wanted to talk about this.
I just love the Tony Awards, I think, because they present big production numbers from a bunch of plays, and I think they're wonderful. I thought Kevin Spacey's Open was really funny, really good. Thought he did a great job.
Did he make fun of the fact that he was like a late choice for it? Was that
his whole deal? His whole deal was that he was the 14th choice for it. I just think it gets of all the big award shows, including the Oscars and the Emmys and the Variety, the Grammys and all the music awards. The Tonys gets by far the lowest.
Yeah,
they get garbage ratings all the time, and I find I like it. So.
And apparently, Dear Evan Hansen was
I have not seen Dear Evan Hansen.
Dear Evan Hansen have a DC? I think there's a DC.
They started at the Stage Arena.
Yes.
And I also thought that Come From Away started here, too, which was also nominated, which is Come From Away is a musical about all the planes that landed after 9/11 in Gander, Newfoundland. Yeah. And it's a Canadian
Come
play
from
that's
away.
It's oh, done
just
very,
how
very
all
well.
These people came yeah. together and were kind of cool. stuck at the airport for a few days.
So. All right, that's it.
Yeah, oh, just Melancholy Happy Trails to Adam West, who played Batman. In
88
the
years old.
Yes, 88 years
More
old.
Identified with Batman than any of the movie Batman.
Two things I was unaware of, but I read as obit. One, he turned down a role, apparently, to be James Bond. They offered him James Bond.
Is that right?
After the Batman series. Yeah, turned that down.
He's an idiot.
And
smart move.
As they said, he was a ladies' man, and at one point he had...
Who isn't?
He had taken Sophia Loren, had gone with her to the Vatican, and he said, how can I put this? When you go to the Sistine Chapel with Sophia Loren, it can be quite some time before your thoughts turn to the ceiling. So I guess he was hanging out with Sophia Loren at one point. It's not a bad life.
Hmm. No, he's 88 years old, but you turn down James Bond, you're a fool. I mean, why would you?
That's a tough career decision.
All right, we will come back with Old Guy Radio. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Omaha Steaks ad, and under the headline Thought Starters, it says, Dads Love Steak. Mm-hmm. Trying to find the perfect gift for Father's Day? Does your dad love to grill but hates the hassle and poor quality at the grocery store? We have the perfect Father's Day gift. This is Omaha Steaks for $49.99. That is not much money. You get a limited time Father's Day package when you go to omahasteaks.com. You enter Tony K in the search bar, whatever that is, to apply the savings. Here's what you get. You get you're getting 80% off Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which includes two tender mild filet mignons, two bold beefy top sirloins, four crispy chicken fried steaks, four juicy boneless pork chops, four all beef Omaha Steak burgers, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, a pound of steakhouse fries, four made from scratch caramel apple tartlets, one packet of seasonings, and four additional burgers for free. Matt Kelleher did this. Do you get any of this as well?
No, we're going to give some.
If you don't like your dad, you get him
chicken beaks and stuff like that. That's like five
meals for four people.
We don't want that. This is fabulous. Again, get this limited time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. You type Tony K in the search bar. You add Father's Day package to your cart. The offer is going to end soon because Father's Day is this Sunday. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Tony K in the search bar, grab your dad and fire up the grill, but don't put your dad on the grill. Don't. That's the bad way to go.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. You hear the name of the title in the first three words.
One, two.
This is Len Barry, who used to be the lead singer of the Dovells, who did the Bristol Stomp and the Hully Gully and things like that. In terms of critical commentary, Nigel has discovered his actual name.
Yes, it's Leonard Borisov. Yes. As you said, let me guess, it's probably something Italian or Jewish.
That's right, from
Philadelphia. And he's from Philadelphia. Yeah. And in fact, he is from West Philadelphia.
Friend of Dick Clark's.
Yes.
A friend of Dick Clark's and an early 75 years old today.
And apparently started singing when he was with the Coast Guard. There was some musical, you know, band with the Coast Guard.
Well, all of the military service has bands. And they give concerts all the time, which are great.
And everyone was like, you're really good. You should be legit about this. And so when he got out of the service, he did that. And about 1, 2, 3, there was a lawsuit with the people from Motown. They said, you ripped us off with this record.
It sounds
and
like
they came to some sort of agreement and they settled with it. But
a money agreement is how it works out.
Yes.
We get this email from Sam Reef Passeroo. Long time little. Grew up in Glover Park in the 80s and 90s, reading you and Wilbon and Boz every day in the actual newspaper. O's, Redskins, Wizards fan, played football at Sidwell Friends, and then blazing a trail, followed by celebrity intern Nick Feynman, went to Washington University in St. Louis. I now live in Brooklyn, where I work for an arts and education theater company called Story Pirates. All of this is prelude to what I have to say right now. I am a contestant on this season of MasterChef. If you're not familiar with the show, it's basically American Idol, but for amateur chefs, with Gordon Ramsay playing Simon Cowell. This is my chance to stand behind the truck when they throw the cash. The show premiered on Wednesday, May 31st, so it's a couple of weeks old, 8 p.m. on Fox. And here is a series of increasingly outlandish requests. One, please read my email on the air. Two, would Chatter be interested in hosting a watch party for one of the episodes? Well, we're a little late. I don't know if he's bounced yet. If somebody could look him up, see if he's bounced. I'd love to come down to D.C. to watch an episode with fellow Littles while buying drinks and food from your restaurant. I'd love to call into the pod after my last episode and discuss my triumph or humiliation with Mr. Tony and the gang. And here's the big one. This is the easiest one of all. My dream would be to cook a giant Italian dinner for Mr. Tony and Joe House. And Joe House is Simmons' best friend. Featuring my amazing chicken parm and an endless line of other Italian-American delicacies. And it's signed La Cheeserie, Sam Reef Passeroo. Why wouldn't we do that? Right? We would do that.
Sure. Right.
We would do all of those things. So we have to find out.
Well, he hasn't called in yet, so he's probably still on the show.
Well, that would be good if he's still on the show.
It's harder than you might think to find out.
The first episode, he only got about 15 seconds of airtime because I was watching.
Oh, that's good, though. So you know him?
That's good.
No, I mean, I don't know him. I saw that email come through the pipeline and wanted to see.
So he's still on? We think he's still on.
We're checking. There's a MasterChef Australia, which is really messing up my search.
And from Dan Kelly in Columbia, Maryland, my 19-year-old son, Casey Kelly, just called me. When I saw his name on the phone, I worried something was wrong, as he rarely calls during the day. He goes on to tell me with great excitement in his voice, Dad, I just exchanged a nod with Dr. Tony in the Galleria. I asked if it was a friendly nod. He said it was very friendly. We have the normal father-son relationship. However, after we both began to listen to your show, we now talk much more often and recap the show together, giving us much joy. Thank you. So that's very nice.
Yeah, he was featured in Parade magazine as one of the 20 contestants. It started May 31st. So
well, that's what I read.
It's relatively, you know.
Yes. So good. So we're rooting for Sam.
Absolutely.
So I look at the paper today. I went to an event on Thursday night at the Palm. I had not been to the Palm since we bought Chatter, because I felt I should, you know, stay where I am, stay in my own lane, as it were. But there was an event for Tommy Giacomo, a retirement party for Tommy Giacomo, at which the mayor, Muriel Bowser, showed up and read a proclamation declaring Thursday Tommy Giacomo
Day.
That's
cool.
Wow.
I got to see, among other people, I mean, Alan and Nancy were there, of course, but among other people, I hadn't seen in a long time, James and Mary. So I felt very good about seeing James and Mary at this particular event. Then I pick up the paper today, and all of these very famous people are in the paper. Not I. I'm not famous enough. Mm. Now, I left early.
Oversight.
I did leave early. I left before the food was served.
You left early?
And it was dinner. I left early. I got to the salad course, and
so
then
that's
I left.
I've got to go.
I left, but I looked at the paper, and like, Wolf Blitzer.
Yes.
Well, I mean, let's not run down some real. Let's not run down a man like Wolf Blitzer.
I'm not running him down.
Isn't that Chris's boss?
Kellyanne Conway, Wolf Blitzer, James Carville, Mary Madeline, Terry McAuliffe. That's all.
No mention of Andrew Beyer.
Andy was there. Andy and Susan were there. It was great to see Andy.
Who's at your table?
At my table, Junior was there with Chris, George Solomon and Hazel, the great Jack Vardaman, Alan and Nancy. We're at the table.
That's a nice table.
You know, that was a very nice table. Except
Linen's magnate, Alan Pubis.
Former Linensman.
Former Linensman.
And co-owner.
Current socialite.
Current socialite.
Real estate magnate.
Big time.
Big time. I see, driving here, I see four or five Nancy Taylor Bubis listings.
Right. And then on Friday night, we went to Tori and Brian's, which is very nice.
That's right. Very lovely.
I did not stay late.
No, you were gone before dinner. Again, that's
pre-dinner.
That's what I do. That's my move.
A couple cocktails.
When the
gong show.
Yes. When that happens, then I've got to go.
And they valet parking.
That's the right way to go. The people
valet.
Walking around with the short xylophone going ding dong ding like before dinner. They actually, I didn't realize this until later. Didn't work for the caterer. They were Tony's people telling him it's time to go.
That
makes sense.
So that was
called planning.
That was very very
lovely.
Nice. Now you said party. How was dinner?
Dinner was delicious. We can tell. Right? That the cops came and shut us down.
They did.
So we felt pretty good about that. It was early. Apparently, there's an ordinance in their community that you can't make too much noise after 9. So they had a DJ and a dance floor.
Well, they started early.
A huge, beautiful
but
tent
outside.
But it was
outside. Gorgeous. It was lovely.
That was a
beautiful
night. Yeah.
It was a great night. It was great to see them.
I guess it was about...
I met the Phantom Daughter.
Yes.
I met Devin.
Devin was there.
She was very excited.
Devin was there.
That.
I saw...
Didn't meet the sons.
I would not incriminate Devin because I did not see her do this, but I saw Devin's friends crushing shots at the bar, and then before we left, one of them appeared to fall in the pool, so that seemed fun.
That's legitimate.
And the cops came and threatened to arrest Tori's husband, so it was fun.
Nonsense. Yeah. I had a crisis about whether or not to go, because I honestly feel that Tori, though she invites me to things, doesn't want me to go, wants to continue this relationship where I never go. But Michael and Liz and Kate said, we'll just drive you, and then we'll leave early. And so I had a really good time.
They had
a raw bar, and the same people that at Columbia, when Columbia has the oyster roast, which is the greatest event, those same people were doing the oysters,
Cool.
So I felt good about that.
And some sort of huge cheese table as well that was rather elaborate.
Yes, they had a cheese wheel.
What was that?
Well, it was under what they call in the restaurant industry a salamander. So it was under like a heated arm, so it would just sort of melt the cheese, and they would just scoop it out and throw it on a piece of bread for you.
I was afraid
that
of that.
Delicious.
I didn't know what that was.
It was tremendous.
That was crazy.
And apparently there was an uninvited neighbor.
Oh, yes.
You might not even be aware of this, because you were talking to him at one point, and I was told at that time he's a neighbor of hers who was not invited but is a huge fan of yours.
Well, yeah, he was nice.
And he came. He's nice, unless you're the people having the party who didn't invite him.
So
he showed up.
I wanted to talk about a story that was in the paper yesterday, a headline that to me is a headline. Well, here's the headline. Ocean City acts to keep women from going topless at beach. That is the headline. That is the lead story in the Metro section. Okay, so if I am the mayor of Ocean City, this is the greatest headline I could ever hope for.
Please come to Ocean City.
Because it implies that women are taking off their clothes all over Ocean City, and we're going to put a stop to it, wink, wink.
Yeah, we'll try.
But why don't you come to Ocean City and see how we do? How great is that?
City moves to stop bar from giving away free alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, you're the mayor of Ocean City. You got to think it's great. And then they quote some... Chelsea Covington, who I'm sure is being paid by Ocean City, Maryland, who is described as a self-described top freedom advocate, who argued that Maryland law allows women to go bare-chested in public could not be reached. He argues that that's the law she wants. Could not be reached immediately on Saturday, but in a recent interview, couldn't be reached because she's collecting the money from Ocean City for being quoted in this. But in a recent interview, she said she was advocating for equality under the law. And her quote is, this previous quote, it's about equality, it's about positivity. There's no such word. There's no such word as positivity. And it's against body shaming and forced sexualization of the female form. That's on the front.
That was
if you've read this far, the next thing you say is, I'm getting gas in the car, and I'm going to Ocean City, right?
Yes.
Right. That's what she would say. She was arguing that it did not, as I show you pictures of her, of course, since it's a family show, I've blocked out.
Well, News Channel 8's not going to show
blurred out the Nigel Cisternet thing around. Right.
But this makes it seem like that. Yeah. She was saying here soon.
She argued it's not fair that men can frequent the beach topless.
And men shouldn't be allowed to.
Certain men should
but
not.
But it might limit experience.
Most men shouldn't be allowed to.
And this is not. This is in no means an indictment of Miss Covington. I'm saying in my limited experience in topless type situations. Topless type
situations. So not a topless situation.
It's never, it's not really what you're picturing.
Right. Huh. See, before I go topless, I knock out about 250 push-ups just so I look big.
Yeah,
you know?
That takes about 3 weeks.
That's just information for life.
Men, no one should be allowed to go topless. In Ocean City?
It's a family. Well,
so you think it should be like the 1912 one piece?
No, but it's like I'm with you in this. It's like men running shirtless in city streets of Washington. It's a privilege, not a right.
Please don't.
You need to be ripped.
Please don't.
In order to do it, you can't just
don't do it.
You got to be ripped. No, you got to go to the gym 7 days a week to.
And you
got to
be under 40.
Yes.
Ocean City, which I affectionately refer to,
you go there all the time.
Fats and tats.
Fats and tats.
It is still at its core a family resort. I'm using the term loosely. A family beach type situation.
Sure.
Yeah. You don't.
But are you happy if you're running a business in Ocean City to get a headline like that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anybody do anything exciting over the weekend that they want to chat about?
Can I talk about quickly? Can I brag on my son?
Please do.
Okay, two outs.
Hold on, let me get your microphone.
I can't hear myself. I assume that's no problem. That's what they tell me. Just write in this Microsoft Word document. It's a blog. My son comes in. He's the youngest kid on the team. We're in the playoffs. We're in extra innings. He comes in.
What's the name of the team?
We're the White Sox.
And what little league is this?
McLean Little League.
Okay.
Ooh, good league.
Yeah. He comes
in. Snowcap City.
A lot of kids going straight to the majors from that.
Yeah. He comes in bottom of the seventh, so we're in extra innings. Two outs. He's got to get one out. He walks the first kid.
It's a Coda Glover situation.
This is kind of a Coda Glover save. He walks the first kid. The second kid grounds it directly back to him. The game is going to be over. He pumps once. He pumps twice. Uh-oh. I say to my wife, not throwing it to him. He airmails it over the first baseman.
Whoops.
So now we're only up one run, second and third. Strikes the last kid out. We win.
Boom. Nice.
Good. He did a good job.
And I screamed, as I told you off air, with two strikes, I screamed, finish him.
As you should.
And the other parents said that was inappropriate, and the fist fight ensued.
Cobra Kai tackle. All right.
And I guess, can I just piggyback this youth sports report on the Tony Kornheiser podcast that the MSIU 15 girls.
Montgomery soccer.
Sydney's team, the DLG United, won yesterday the championship, capping an undefeated season.
Fantastic. So everybody's doing well.
May I receive some fatherly advice before we close out today?
Yes.
So on Saturday, we're going to dinner and we hire a car service through our phones to pick us up. The car service never arrives and we check the app. It says it's already on the trip. So we're running late. We have to get another car to pick us up through my wife's phone. And then I get a email that says I've been charged $8 for a car trip.
Cannot pay it.
So I write a lengthy email to this car service.
So Liz would just swallow it, though.
Right, but that's why I did that this weekend with Starbucks.
Don't pay it. They didn't show up.
So it's linked to my credit card. I wrote to this company. They said, we've reviewed this. This trip was completed, so you have to pay.
What do you mean the trip was completed? You
didn't pay. Someone intercepted your car, it sounds like.
Let's just say this. The driver, we figured out what the real side hustle is for this company, if we remember that copy. The driver said he picked me up and said the trip was completed, so they can't verify that I was not in that car. So I had three or four emails yesterday with this company, and they just said, well, thank you for reaching out to us. This matter is now resolved.
No, it's not.
Not to my dissatisfaction.
No. So is it worth it for the $8 to reach out to my credit card company, which handles issues of fraud with great care?
Yes.
No.
100%.
It's not.
Yes, it is, 100%.
The GPS in your phones would verify that you were not picked up or ever moved by them.
Well, and Liz, Liz probably has a companion card to my card, so we can see that her card was charged at the same time.
For the same trip.
For the same trip.
This is nonsense, and you fight that. You fight yeah. that, and then you start.
I call the gas company.
Then you start naming the company on the air, and then you seek to destroy them.
Well, the company's Uber. I mean, yeah. we all know
no,
that.
No, he
well,
said they, then he would name it.
The good okay. thing about Uber is they had a good weekend otherwise.
Well, that's I'm oh, sitting yeah, there saying after CEO the week you've down. Had, yeah. don't you want to make sure that you're actually handling customer service with yes, some
terrible.
Care?
All right.
Meanwhile, look, you're bored, and your CEO
they're
is being
lying.
Put on a forced leave of absence.
Yeah, good. That was good. Email when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Oh, Lou, Emmy Award winner Lou. When I applaud his esprit, people verbally, graphically assault me. But I know, like Dave Grohl, he cannot be as obnoxious as he seems. And I will always love Blue. I will always love Blue.
The incomparable Robert Burke. Brilliant.
That's going to be
brilliant.
In my head.
Oh, brilliant. My God.
Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Michael Wilbon for coming on the show today. Also want to thank our sponsors, Omaha Steaks and MeUndies. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. And if you like the breakfast at Chatter, please leave us a good review.
Robust
nice.
Crowd this morning,
yes.
by the way.
Yeah. Huge
robust.
Crowd.
Huge
you crowd.
You're the
Jack Polivy in New York. My name is Jack. I'm 25 years old. I've been a Laura Little for several years now. I like that you let Heilman know that he sounded like he was calling from an abandoned coal mine before proceeding to emasculate him by reciting lines from Hamlet. If Comey is Hamlet, does that make Trump Macbeth? Thanks, Jack. From Les Cossack in Waterville, Ohio. So Chessie bit you when you tried to enter her cage and take something from her. I believe that our mutual friend David Aldridge would call that coming up large in your own building. P.S. By mutual friend, I mean that I also see him on TV. From Scott in Royal Oak, Michigan. About a month ago, I thought my friend and fellow Little was playing a practical joke on me when I was going through my mail and saw a letter with the official Hot Bench logo in the upper left corner. Turns out it was legit. Inside was a letter explaining how the small claims court suit I had brought against a now former friend and wanted to put us on the show. Must be an awful job combing through all the small claims lawsuits out there. But I guess mine stood out because I received letters from two other judge shows shortly thereafter. Believe me, I have no desire to be on TV, especially on this type of show. But I quickly responded, yes. Why, you may ask? The free trip to California is nice. Plus, I learned the show pays me any winnings directly, so I don't have to try and collect from the deadbeat who also wasn't paying what he owed me. Much more importantly, I had dreams of becoming the official TK Show Hot Bench correspondent. Of course, I would have squeezed in at least one La Cheeserie before it was over, but unfortunately, the previously mentioned deadbeat declined the opportunity, so my dreams were dashed. Will you ask Abby Lowell if I can add a mental distress suit onto this? Thanks for the entertainment, and if you don't mind, please wish a belated 40th happy birthday to that fellow little Mark, who is now a man.
What is it again? Three judges...
One verdict.
Well, how does it go?
Three judges, three opinions, one verdict.
Hot bench.
Okay. From Matt King in Nashville, Tennessee, just catching up on the podcast. Was so happy to hear you say nice things about my adopted hometown of Nashville. 22 years ago, after growing up in Philly and graduating from Delaware as a member of the golf team, I moved here. Shortly after that, I relocated to Virginia, driving around doing sales and discovering the Tony Kornheiser Show. But after a year, just had to come back. It's just as fun as you said, and the golf is great. A couple of months ago, I was in the head pro's office at Hillwood Country Club joking about how many of us have come to hang up the Mizuno Tour Blades and buy pings. Michael, this day will come for you as well. Then out of the corner of my eye, I see a photo of him alongside you and Jaws. I interrupted and said, hey, that's you and Tony Kornheiser. I'm a little. He then said, you're a little what? Obviously, he didn't get it.
Ouch.
Anyway, if you're ever back, I'm happy to host you for golf and show you guys around La Cheeserie. I did play there. I played at Hillwood, and I thought it was really lovely. From Craig Barrelette, Michael is an insufferable suck the life out of the podcast know-it-all bore. Please tell Michael.
Message
you,
heard.
Why would you hand me that?
I think critical feedback is important.
Feedback is a gift.
Well, I'm just reading these cold. Why would you do that? Chad Parsons.
Please tell Michael.
For the first time in my TK show listening history, I had a Gretchen Wu moment with Wednesday's show. Brooke Matrinko had an email read recounting her visit to California and missing the Bryce Harper fight by leaving an inning too early. If this is the Brooke Matrinko, I worked with her and her husband in the Army in Washington, D.C. for around a decade. Tell her I said hello, and I hope they're keeping cool during the busy summer season with the Old Guard Fife and Drum Corps. So that's very nice. From Joe in Powell, Ohio. Where's Luke? He is hilarious. From Hampton right Nager, the reports right of my death and the reports of my gullibility are both greatly exaggerated. On Thursday's show, Nigel slandered me, suggesting I would eat a vacuum-sealed chicken claw he had foisted on me during my show visit and depicted here as if I were some sideshow carny. Good Lord, of course I didn't eat it. Are you out of your mind? I mean, look at this war crime. How hungry do you have to be to crack this open? We gave these out today. People have these
here. Yeah, he took a picture of it.
It looks like something used in a ritual to summon gremlins, and I would rather eat houseplants and gravel. Sanctimonious and not all that hungry, I am Hampton Nager in Dallas, Texas.
Sorry about that, Hampton.
From Elon Kopecki in Lafayette, California. Timmy Kirkchin thought he was safe from the littles at Fenway until he looked over at me during a commercial break, and I yelled avocado, followed by a hearty lechizery. He chuckled, turned to a bewildered Mark Teixeira, and explained my idiocy. Tim is safe nowhere because we are everywhere. And if you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Don't talk back to me, all right?
job or two on Friday night. Just enough to make you loose thin tight. At the bar you decide that you want to play.
Sometime after sunset, head down to the creek bed. Get more than our feet wet. Gonna leave our clothes on the bank. We'll be bumping, jumping, heart to thumping. Take a swim, make this night into something we'll never forget. Sometime after sunset. Feeling the liquor. Getting anxious too. See the fireflies flicker and a smile at you. Will you give me that wink just to let me know you're thinking about the place where we're gonna go. Sometime after sunset, head down to the creek bed. Get more than a feet wet. Gonna leave our clothes on the bank. We'll be bumping, jumping, heart thumping. Take a swim, make this night into something we'll never forget. Sometime after sunset. Well, our friends will notice that we're not around, 'cause the best part of this party's going down. Sometime after sunset, head down to the creek bed. Get more than our feet wet. Gonna leave our clothes on the bank. We'll be bumping, jumping, heart thumping. Take a swim, make this night into something we'll never forget. Sometime after sunset, head down to the creek bed. Get more than our feet wet. Gonna leave our clothes on the bank. We'll be bumping, jumping, heart thumping. Take a swim, make this night into something we'll never forget. It'll be something we will never forget. Sometime after sunset.
time after sun.